We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. With those words, the men and women of the original 13 colonies placed their very lives on the line, and the lives of their children, and the lives of their grandchildren. As much as that was a declaration of independence, it was also a declaration of war, and war indeed did break out, and many died. The entire story of the roots of our nation have inspired many, many outstanding quotes that stir us when we hear them. And one of the most famous is Patrick Henry's, "Give me liberty or give me death." One quote that is more recent in history that I think is just as powerful as that one is credited to U.S. Air Force Colonel Walter Hitchcock. And he said this, "Freedom is not free." You've heard that, haven't you? Freedom is not free. Those words are engraved on a portion of the Korean War Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. They're very powerful words. They're inspired by history. They're inspired by victories. They're inspired by loss. But those words are not as powerful as these words. The truth will set you free. Those words, of course, came from the lips of Jesus in John 8:32. Free. Freedom. That is a concept that most Americans are celebrating today, but it's also a concept that contains many different interpretations. How do you define freedom? Is freedom the presence of something in your life? Or is freedom the absence of something in your life? The answer is both. Is freedom a political term? Or is freedom a theological term? The answer is both. Is freedom something that we celebrate on July 4, or is it something that we celebrate every hour of every day? The answer is both. What is important to you about freedom? Some people were asked that question in a survey, and one young man answered, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, one person answered this way, "Freedom is important to me because it allows me to be myself." That is a terrible answer, depending on what you believe freedom is. What do you believe about freedom? Who is the source of what you believe about freedom? Is it Benjamin Franklin? Is it Patrick Henry? Is it Abraham Lincoln? Or is it the Creator, whom our founding fathers recognized in their declaration of freedom? Here's what the Creator said through the Apostle Paul, and it's in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Of course, those words supersede everything related to our Independence Day today. And they define the very essence of your Christian life, your life in Christ, and your promised life of eternity with him. Brothers and sisters, you were not set free just by a declaration of independence. You were set free by the Son of God. Your freedom is not just from slavery to a foreign nation. Your freedom is from slavery to the law, which made you inescapably a slave to sin, because you could not possibly keep the law of God. July 4 is a blip in history compared to the eternal truth that we're talking about here right now. How is it possible that we would spend more time, more celebration, more joy, bigger food, more fireworks, more money on a blip in history when we live every day in freedom through Jesus Christ? You remember that question that I asked you a little bit earlier? What is important to you about freedom? And one person said, freedom is important to me because it allows me to be myself. You know, what happened 245 years ago is very important. It's vital. But what happened over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem is far more important and far more vital. You know what I'm saying. And this is why I believe it was a terrible answer for that person. I'm reading to you from the 13th verse of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. And Paul added this. He said, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. That's what it says. Put it in all caps. You do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. I know I don't like to hear about my sinful nature. And I remember going to a church where it felt like that's all I ever heard about every Sunday. I wanted to hear some good news. And, you know, I feel like I lay that on you and me all the time, our sinful nature. I hope that I balance that with Christ has set us free. Whatever allows you to be yourself is a dangerous thing to celebrate, because you are a sinner. That's who you are. You are a sinner. If you think freedom as something that gives you a door to indulge yourself, then the devil will enjoy watching you sink into his trap. The freedom that you inherit in Jesus Christ is very different. Jesus said this in John 8, beginning in verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son, capital S, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Hallelujah. But here's something really important. The freedom to which Jesus Christ referred is something that is, well, it's sometimes a freedom from something. A freedom from a host of enemies that wish to attack you and drag you down into Satan's ways. A freedom from the heavy weights that maybe you carry around because you are buried by those weights, and a mountain of fear as you encounter face to face your own sin. Here's just three examples. In Jesus Christ, we have freedom from guilt. Admit it. At one time or another, in your past, you've done something that hurt somebody else. Or you've done something that hurt yourself. Maybe you made some bad choices. Perhaps you failed at marriage. Perhaps you failed at parenting. Perhaps you were irresponsible with the use of money. Without a doubt, at some point in the past, you failed to live up to all that God wants you to be. You have failed and failed and failed, and you will fail again. But with all that guilt, how could you not feel the weight of your past dragging you around like a heavy anchor? Guilt. I read a story about a German girl who was a pianist in the 1800s. And she decided to have a piano recital. In order to attract people to come to her recital, she advertised it this way. She said that she was a student of the famous Hungarian professor Franz Liszt. The problem was that she lied. She had never even met Franz Liszt. Imagine her dismay when she learned that the day before her recital, Liszt himself was going to visit her town. What if he came to her recital after seeing the advertisement that she was his student? She was busted, guilty. What was she going to do? So on the day that he was to arrive in town, she made arrangements to have a meeting with him, and she confessed to him what she had done. And she trembled and wept, and he said to her, "You are guilty of a very great mistake." But we have all made mistakes. And I can see you are repentant. Now sit down at the piano and play for me. Her fingers were trembling. And she sat and she played the best she could. And he stopped her several times and made some corrections. And then he said, "Now you can truthfully say that I taught you. Go and play your piano recital." He set her free from her guilt. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In him, we are forgiven. We are set free from all that guilt." It's gone. It's gone. It's cast into the deepest part of the sea, never to be resurrected. It is buried. It is banished. Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished," I just love that word, "that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Hallelujah! That is a real cause for fireworks today and every day. Brothers and sisters, lasting liberty is yours through Jesus Christ. Click your heels and say hallelujah, or amen, or whatever you feel like saying. Contrast that with the person who says that they celebrate freedom because it allows them to indulge themselves, to be whatever they want to be. How tragic is that contrast? Here's another example. In Jesus Christ, we have freedom from consequences. When we break the law, there are consequences. Well, there are consequences if you get caught. if you don't get caught, we just kind of tend to stuff it down and not allow ourselves to have feelings of guilt and just go on and live our life. All we've really done is kick the can down the road. Because someday, because of the courtroom of God, we will all stand before our judge. And none of us are going to escape the consequences of our sins. Unless Jesus Christ, your advocate, stands between you and the judge and says to him, "Father, I have taken this sin upon myself. Thank you for your mercy." Do you realize why that is so significant? Because the ultimate consequences of our sin is death. That's very clear in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're not talking about just physical death here. Physical death is a consequence of sin. But we're talking about something far more significant. We are talking about eternal spiritual death. I vividly remember a time when Elizabeth and I were newlyweds and we were on I-95 South in South Carolina on our way to visit her family in Atlanta. And we were having a very good conversation in the car when I was quite surprised by a speed trap. Busted. I got pulled over, and justifiably so. What happened next, however, was what was really scary. The officer told me to get behind the wheel of my car and follow him into a little town that was right off of I-95. He was taking me to meet a judge who was spending his entire day in his courtroom visiting with people who were receiving fines for driving too fast in South Carolina. I had heard about such notorious things as that, especially in that part of the country, and I had heard that I would probably have to buy my way out of it. I was also informed that checks and credit cards were not accepted. I would have to have cash to get out of this. It was going to cost me big time. I hoped I had enough cash in my wallet to take care of the situation. They took me into a room with a lot of wood around, and high up in this box sat this judge in a suit. And he looked down at me and he said, "Mr. Causey, how do you plead?" And I said, "Guilty, Your Honor." And he said, "Then you are free to go with a warning. Slow down, young man. Slow down." Oh, the adrenaline was really pumping. I was so happy to hear that. I was so relieved, and it made me think that when I stand before my ultimate judge, no amount of money can take care of all the tickets that I have accumulated in this life on this side of heaven. I am guilty, and there will be no warning. There will be no one to say, "Go and sin no more." There will be no second chances. The consequences, the wages of sin, we are told by God, is death. Eternal death. Were it not for the grace of God through Jesus Christ, my Redeemer, your Redeemer. In Jesus Christ, we have freedom. We have freedom from guilt, and we have freedom from consequences. And third, in Jesus Christ, we have freedom from accusation. You may remember this story. I've told it before. It's about a little boy named Pete. Pete was visiting his grandparents, and they gave him a slingshot. And Pete went out into the woods, and he practiced with the rocks and the slingshot, but he never could hit a target. He came back into his grandma's backyard, and there he saw her pet duck. And he took the slingshot, and of course, it found its mark, and the duck fell dead. Well, Pete was horrified. What had he done? He ran over and he picked up the lifeless body of that duck and he hid it in the wood pile. But just at that moment, he looked up, and to his horror, he saw standing there his sister, Sally. She saw the whole thing, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, come help me wash the dishes." And Sally said, "Well, Pete told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today, Grandma." "Didn't you, Pete?" And then she leaned over to Pete and she said, "Remember the duck?" So Pete washed dishes. And later that afternoon, Grandpa said, "Let's go fishing." And Grandma said, "Well, Sally can't go fishing because she needs to help me prepare supper." And Sally said, "Oh, Pete said he wanted to help do the cooking today, Grandma, so it's all taken care of." And she again leaned over and she said, "Remember the duck." And so Pete did not get to go fishing that day. This went on for days, day after day, and it became overwhelming for Pete. He couldn't stand it anymore. And so with tears in his eyes, he went to his grandma and he said, I have to tell you, I killed your duck." She took him in her arms and she said, "I know, Pete. I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But I love you. And I forgive you. I just wondered how long you were going to allow Sally to make a slave of you." And that is exactly what Satan does to way too many people. He leans in over your shoulder and he says, "Remember the duck." The accuser. The accuser. Colossians 1, verse 21. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and," here it comes, "free from accusation." That's what it says right there in the Bible. You are free from accusation. Satan is your great accuser, and Jesus Christ is your great Savior, and he gives you freedom from accusation. Listen to Revelation 12:10. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down.'" Hallelujah. Satan is a liar. The truth is not in him. So where is it? It's in Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And he said further, "And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free." The price of American freedom was paid by the blood of those who sacrificed their lives for us. The price of eternal freedom was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice that set you and me free from sin and from death. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have done so much for us. Please forgive us that we have blinders on and we look at this gift of freedom that you have given us as if it were something unique. Lord God, it is special. It is rare. It is a precious jewel that you have set us free in Jesus Christ. So as America today lifts up their voice to celebrate the freedom we do enjoy, may we celebrate more your eternal freedom in our Savior. In his name I pray, amen.